God willing, the brothers will put a few scriptures on the screen. I know the font is small, but you can't see it from the back of the room. But you can listen. Amen. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 1. And just going to read the first 14 verses this morning. A scripture that I often turn to. And it says these words. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. You know, this morning I want to focus a little bit on what we are going to start celebrating and thinking about over these next 2 or 3 weeks. That the Word became flesh. Now, in this reading I just read to you from John's Gospel, it uses the pronouns a lot. He and him. But it doesn't say who it is. Now, who are we talking about here? Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word we know is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's nail that to the mast straight away. The Word is God. Jesus is God. Because there are a lot of people that tell you, no, he's not God, he's just a prophet, he's just a spirit. No, Jesus is God.
Amen.
It says, he was in the beginning with God. Everything was made through him, and without him, nothing that was made, it says. So that there's nothing that we can see that was made without the Jesus as the center of it and Jesus at the heart of it. I want to think about Jesus, the light and life of the world.
Amen.
It says in verse 14, the scripture you've become familiar with and you've heard me quote many times. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, the Word became flesh. When the Word comes, because that's what we are thinking about in Nativity, at the Nativity time, we're thinking about God becoming flesh. But I thought we were talking about Jesus. We are. God became flesh. The Word became flesh. We've just read in the Gospel that the Word was with God and the Word was God. So God became flesh. He dwelt among us, says, and we beheld his glory. Now, as we think about the word, there's you don't have to turn it up, but there's a scripture in the Psalms which says this, in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." See, when Jesus came, light came into the world. Now, we know light was created on the first day of creation. But Jesus coming into the earth brought light, it brought revelation, it brought illumination. People realized, or they began to realize, who this was. This baby in a manger. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of the word of God brought light and life to the world. Now, in that reading in John's Gospel that we read, it says, "In him, in the word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You know, in him, in the word was life, and in the word was light. They came together. They came when Jesus came. Light and life. Now, Jesus himself declared that he was the light in, again in John's Gospel, chapter 8. And again in chapter 9, where Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You see, light and life are going together all the time. You know, in him was life. The life was the light of men. When Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," he says that those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, as we think about the coming of Jesus, and we will focus a lot on this over the next 2 or 3 weeks, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus. Now, we know that. Now, in that great scripture, that great gospel scripture, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and we have that well-known verse in verse 16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 goes on and says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, those are the verses that we know them almost off by heart. You know, if I was to ask any of you, you know, what is John 3:16, you'll be able to recite that, I'm sure. But Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, when he began to tell him that God loved the world so much, he went on to say something about light. Because he's talking about the coming that God sent his Son. God sent the word. God sent the life. God sent the light. And he says this in verse 19 to 21. John 3, 19 to 21. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Jesus here is saying that people that live in darkness don't like the light. Why? because they want their deeds, they want to do under cover of darkness. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be exposed. But what actually happens when Jesus comes, Jesus exposed the darkness. The light of the world exposed the darkness and brought people to the light. Another thing Jesus said, again, this is in John's Gospel, there's a lot in John. In chapter 12, Jesus said these words in chapter 12, verse 46. Again, you don't have to turn it up. But it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I've come as a light to the world. I've come so that you don't have to live in darkness. I've come so that to take the darkness away and bring illumination, bring light. Darkness does not expose the light. Darkness does not overcome the light. Light overcomes the darkness. Actually, we read that in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, if we made this room, it would be a little difficult with all the natural light coming in as well. If we made this so this was completely dark, so that you couldn't see anything at all, and then I just lit a match and held it up, you would all see the match. Because it doesn't matter how much darkness there is, the light becomes the prominent feature. Light will expose darkness. And you know what it's like, you don't, when you go into your apartments in the evening, or if you wake up in the middle of the night and it's dark, you switch on the light. You don't think about the darkness, because all of a sudden the darkness has gone. You've put on the light. The light overcomes the darkness. And Jesus came to expose darkness, to bring people to the light. There's a prophecy in Isaiah which talks about, it's in chapter 60. It talks about Gentiles, it says, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Gentiles shall come to your light. You know, when Jesus came, what did he say? Again, talking about his death on the cross. He said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. I will draw all people to me. You know, if we light, people will be drawn. You know what happens when you put on a light in the nighttime? You suddenly attract a lot of moths and insects. Now, they're there, but as soon as you put on the light, they fly towards it. They're attracted to the light. And when we light, and this nativity season, as we light up the Lord Jesus in our lives, and we tell people about Jesus, now they're going to be more receptive at this time of the year. You know, more people their thought processes are going this way. You know, as they become and celebrate the village festas and things are going on in churches, people are thinking about Jesus. Even the people that aren't even really religious, if I can use that word, they will give some thought towards Jesus at this time of the year. You know, and they can be drawn to the light as we portray Jesus, as we share Jesus with others. Men will be drawn. Now, how do I know that? Because it happened right Jesus was born. Because as soon as the baby was born, what did God put in the sky? He put a light. He set a light in the sky, a star. And as soon as that star, that light was visible, people were attracted to it. We read the story of the Magi in Matthew's Gospel. You know, they saw the star, they followed the star to Bethlehem. You know, its light is attractive, and people are drawn to the light. But let's see something else about light. I want to go through a few things about light this morning in connection with the Lord Jesus. One thing that light needs. You can have light, but one thing you need with light, in order for it to be appreciated, is you need a receiver. You need the eye. You need to be able to see it. Light requires an organ that's been adapted for its reception. If you can give me Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22, 23. We have here a scripture, Jesus talking about the eye. And he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Light requires a receiver. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your body will be full of light. You will receive the light. If your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness, it says. Why should this shouldn't cause us any difficulty to understand? Because we know that in order to pick up a radio signal, you need a receiver, you need a tuner, you need to tune the radio in. And now the radio waves, there's radio waves this morning in this hall. You can't see them. But if you've got a tuner which will tune into the radio waves, you can pick up the reception, you can listen to the radio station. And light requires receiving just the same way. And that receiver needs to be good. Now the light of the world needs to be received. It needs to be received by faith. Now if we don't receive him, we stay in darkness. If we do receive him, then our whole body will be full of light. That's what Jesus was saying. Do you know, there was I've not heard this for many years, but there used to be a statement used to be made. I'm sure some of those that are older, I don't mean in years, but although it will be true as well, that the older in years and the older in their Christian walk will probably have heard. Well, actually, but we used to sing, and it's a very popular song. We used to sing a song written by Isaac Watts, and it went like this: it went, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light. We receive the light at the cross. When we receive Jesus, we receive the light. And he brings illumination. He brings light. He brings life to us. You know, we were talking about the coming of the Lord. We're talking about Jesus coming as a baby. You know, his name, given to him by the angel, and in prophecy, was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, what's significant about that is in the Old Testament, God's presence with his people was signified by light, a pillar of fire. It gave light. When God was in the camp among his people during the darkness, there was light. There was fire. And Jesus when he came, excuse me, take some water. When he came, he dwelt among us. You know, God dwells with his people. You know, God is dwelling with his people. Actually, there's another interesting scripture in John 17. Excuse me. I think it's in Jesus' prayer in John 17, Jesus prayed, talking about the Father and him and the Holy Spirit, the three of them, coming to those who receive him and making their home with them. You know, God has made his home in us. The light of the world is living right inside us for those that have received him.
Amen.
And what's interesting about light inside, you know, light, when it's in the vessel, makes the vessel fit for purpose. You know, if you've got a lantern or a lighthouse or even an oil lamp or something like that, and there's no light in it, it's not fit for purpose. The lighthouse shines out to sea as a warning. The lantern gives light to those that are bearing it and carrying it. But if there's no light in the lamp or there's no light in the lighthouse, what purpose does it serve? And if there's no light inside us, what purpose do we serve? You know, we've got to have the light, we've got to have the light. You know, Jesus, and you'll see this, decorate and put on show. Without the light, all we are just decorations. We don't serve any purpose. It's the light and it's the life that gives purpose to the vessel. We're made complete in Jesus when we have him inside us. You know, there's something interesting about the Lord. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Can you hear me okay?
What is better, you from the glass?
Better from the glass. That's it.
Okay. I know the feeling.
James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, here this James describes the Lord as the Father of lights. And it says, with him there's no variation, there's no shadow of turning. You know, there's no partiality with God. And light shows us that there's no partiality. When Jesus came to the manger, I want you to notice this. Jesus came, he was not born in the king's palace. He was not born into some noble surroundings. The coming of the Lord was in a lowly place. Now why should that be important for us? Because if Jesus had been born in the palace, he would have been inaccessible to the normal man. If Jesus had been born of noble aristocracy, he would have been inaccessible to us. But he was born in a lowly place. He was born where everybody could get to him. He was born in a place of no reputation, where everybody could relate. You know, in the palace, you could only have access by invitation. There's an interesting scripture in the book of Esther. where it talks about the when Esther wanted an audience with the king, she had to wait. She couldn't just go into his room, his chamber. She had to wait for the scepter to be extended towards her. And only then, when she received the invitation, could she go in. And she was the queen. She was his wife. She had to have the invitation. But because Jesus was born in this lowly place, the light of the world, he receives all who come to him. None is turned away. The shepherds were welcomed. The wise men, although they didn't come to the manger place, they came to where Jesus was staying in the house later on. But they were welcomed. They came. You don't see anybody in the scriptures that came to Jesus, whether they had some need or just wanted to talk with him. He didn't turn any of them away. He received them all. And whoever will may come. We used to say, whosoever will may come. Now, I'm going to wrap up. You know, there are many. This is the Psalm. Psalm 4, verse 6. It says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? There are many who say, who will show us any good? You know, we hear that almost on a daily basis. You know, if the Lord was a good God, then why doesn't he show us? You know, why does he allow things to happen? You know, who will show us any good? But then the psalmist goes on, Psalm 4, verse 6, he says, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You know, the light is God's goodness. It's the blessing of God. It's the favor of God. You know, this baby in the manger is not just any baby. It's not just another baby. We could take you to the maternity unit at the hospital, and we can show you baby after baby, and every baby will be different. But this baby we're talking about, the light of the world, is not just any other baby. The baby in the manger that will grow and live his life and die for us is the favor and blessing of God. Jesus is the expression of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the scripture says, and we read it earlier on. You know, that's why we did gifts at this time of the year, because we want to be a blessing to our family, we want to be a blessing to our friends and people that we know. So we give them a gift so that we can be a blessing. And God gave us Jesus. Because he wanted to bless us. And Jesus is the blessing. He is the one that God gave to us. He's God's gift to us. You know, I want you to remember, if you take just one thing from this message this morning, remember this. My closing statement. You know, we give gifts to be a blessing. You know, and everything that God is. Everything that God is, you know, we've been singing it this morning, talking about the greatness of God, the might of God. Everything that God is, everything that God has ever said was wrapped up in that little bundle that we celebrate at this time of the year, Jesus. You know, everything that God is, everything God has said was wrapped up in that body, the light of the world, the Word become flesh. Let me just say this in finishing. You know, Jesus didn't come so that we could have this season. You'll see this posted out on stickers and posters and things, this little motto. And it says, Jesus is the reason for the season. But Jesus didn't come so that we could have the season. Jesus came to die. Now we have the seasons because we want to remember and celebrate the coming of the Lord. But that wasn't the purpose for Jesus coming. It wasn't so that we could have every year this feast and this time of celebration. Jesus came to die for us. He came so that we might become the righteousness of God. That we might receive the light of life. So just remember this one thing in wrapping up. Everything that God is, everything God has said, was wrapped up in Jesus. And is wrapped up in Jesus. So you receive Jesus. Let's take us right back to where we began. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you receive Jesus, you receive God the Father. Amen. You receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. You receive everything. Complete. Amen.
Let's give a hand to God.